line for Lickin' On Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Lickin' On Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. Now here's your host of Lickin' On Lending, David Lickin.
Let's begin.
Welcome, listeners. It is Monday, October 16th, 2023. The MBA conference is live and going on in Philadelphia. It's good to have you here with us. This podcast is created by mortgage professionals. It is for mortgage professionals, and we're grateful to have you as our listener. Our commitment is to bring you, the mortgage professional that you are, timely information in an audio format you can listen to anytime, anywhere. Let us know which one of the means by how you listen to us. Is it iTunes? Is it one of the Google Play Store apps that are out there? One of the, is it Spotify, whatever it is. Let us know which one you listen to. We appreciate it very much. And I think the vast majority is either going directly to our website or iTunes, but we're wanting to make sure we publish everywhere, and we want to make sure we're not missing getting to you wherever that be, wherever it is that you're listening. So anyway, joining me today is my co-host, Mark Hell. Mark, good to have you here, friend.
Glad to be here, sir.
Yes, by the way, you and I both got recognized by Housing Wire and we received a Vanguard Award. How about that? Congratulations to us.
Well, I know. Congratulations to us. I feel very honored, Dave.
Yeah, it is an honor. I truly appreciate Clayton Collins that owns Housing Wire and the whole Housing Wire team for blessing us with that. It was a real honor to work closely with them. We think highly of them. And I was at the conference last week. Now, last week, as you guys know, I was here Monday, but I flew out immediately, went from here to Orlando last week, and then to speak at the Finastra conference, and then flew back. We were at the Housing Wire on Wednesday, flew out on Thursday on that Alcova Mortgages top performers sales event there, and it was delightful. We had a great time. But anyway, it's good to be here with you, listeners, and Mark and I are just honored that you would give us your time. Let's say a special thank you to our sponsors, Byte Software. Byte does an outstanding job of providing exceptional level of LOS customization. When we're looking at the markets as we are today and how they're shifting around, it is really important that you understand that the importance of customization of your LOS. Again, they're at enterprise level of LOS. I encourage you to check them out, whether you're the chief operating officer with thousands of users or an entrepreneur starting up your operation. Byte is the right size company for you.
And Finastra, where you can set customized decisioning parameters to help streamline the approval process while keeping your lending team compliant and efficient. And we know how important compliance is.
Oh, yeah. The being compliant is a big one. And again, major shout out. I spoke last week, Mark, in Orlando at their user group. They're so big, Mark, that they have to break their user conference into 2, 3, 4 different cities at times. So it was a great event, and I really enjoyed it. Also, big shout out to our sponsor, Total Expert, the leading fintech software company that delivers purpose-built CRM tool to help you and technology that helps you with customer engagement like nothing else. What's really interesting, Mark, about these guys at Total Expert, they're here to support their clients. They flew somebody in to sponsor this event at Alcova Mortgage because Alcova uses Total Expert. They had one of their representatives flew all the way in from Minneapolis into Roanoke, Virginia to be there and speak to the group. I was really impressed with that kind of commitment to their users. So Joe Lou and Total Expert team, kudos to you for what you do.
That doesn't surprise me because they are totally committed to their customers, and we know that. And we got Kendor Technology, the only automated underwriting system, earn a patent for its unique tech solution. Kendor also optimizes loan delivery workflows so operations can right size for the last time. Very important in our industry so you can keep your staffing under control and be very efficient.
Yep, for sure. And then also iEmergent, the Mortgage Bankers Association of America. Kudos to the MBA for being there. We're not there this year, Mark. I have a grandbaby being born, and it's our second granddaughter, and I want to be here for that. I'm registered for the conference, getting a lot of people calling me about it. But I hope everyone that's at the conference is having a great time, and it's actually being fairly well attended. I'm pleased with that. That's encouraging given our market conditions. Check out all that the MBA has to offer. Get behind them. Become a member if you're not already. Also, Lenders One, the Mortgage Collaborative, Knowledge Coop, Mobility MMI, Modix, iEmerge. I want to say something about Simple Nexus. They have been a sponsor of ours. We've been very grateful for that. They are being rebranded as Encino Mortgage. So be sure to check out. You're not going to see Simple Nexus anywhere. So if you're confused by that, it's now Encino Mortgage. They'll no longer be a sponsor for us for a little while. They're taking a little break because they're going through some reorg, what's happening there. But they're a great company. Encourage you to check them out. Encino Mortgage. Don't be thrown if you don't see the name Simple Nexus. Mark, I want to give a shout out to some of the podcasts we released last week. We're getting some great feedback, especially the one that was released on Tuesday, October 10th. It was the recording with Pavan Agarwal of SunWest Mortgage. He has several companies, but it was Angel AI Part 1. We're going to be doing Angel AI Part 2 this week on Friday, October 20th. Again, you need to be listening to this because it is a game changer of technology. Also, last Wednesday, October 11th, we released an interview with Alcova Mortgage Leadership, affectionately known as 3AM, three owners of Alcova Mortgage. Alcova Mortgage there before we get to 3AM. Anyway, it's Bobby Nicely, it's Bill Disciple, and Rob Lindstrom. These three guys really got into a great discussion, sharing what they feel is the important core values to have as a foundation for leadership. I've had the privilege of being their leadership coach and advisor to their company for a number of years now. And also, I flew in and spoke to their top performers sales group last Friday. It was a real honor. It's really fun to see how some companies have such strong leadership, Mark, and how they do so well. It is so important, Mark. You've been former owner of a number of mortgage companies. You know how important leadership is, and especially when it comes to your sales force.
That is so true, David. And I think knowing those gentlemen as well as I've gotten to know them over the past couple of years, they're really superstars and really are grounded and know what they want to do with their business. And I couldn't be happier that we work with them, and their podcast is great. So I hope people take the time to hear a wonderful story from some great leaders in our industry.
Yeah, not only were they on our podcast, but on Friday, October 15th, we released the interview with Marjorie Adams. Now we said it's Marjorie Adam with no S in there. I always put an S in there just because there's so many people I know as Adams. But anyway, Marjorie Adam. And Marjorie and I had a discussion about the real estate commission exchange. Now she is doing the Alcova. She is a realtor. But the guys at Alcova, that owners, 3AM owners, came in and says, we need to do a podcast. We want to be more realtor-based. So we've asked a really top realtor to be hosting our podcast. So I've gotten to know Marjorie Adam, and I got to tell you, she is a dynamo, probably one of the best podcasts as what to do and how to react to the real estate commission. And I'm talking about the buyer agent part of it. Nothing's changing on the seller agent. That'd be the listing agent side, but on the buyer agent, the world is changing fast and you need to be aware of it, listeners. So anyway, be plugged into it. Upcoming podcast this week is Wednesday, October 18th. We've got Jeff Gentry and Curtis of National Credit Reporting Services talking about NCS innovation and the FICO pricing. What's some updates from them on that perspective? Then on Friday, October 20th, again, we'll be releasing part two of the interview with Pavan Agarwal, and you'll want to listen to that with Angel AI, how the world is changing.
If for any reason you've missed the first podcast with Pavan, please listen to that before you listen to part two, because it is cumulative, and I think it'll give you a better insight as to what he's doing with Angel AI.
That's a really good point. Thank you, Mark, for so important. It's hard to watch a sequel if you didn't watch the first podcast, because we're building on that, on the knowledge of it. Also want to do a special thank you of our regulars, Adam DeSanctis with the MBA, Les Parker with his brilliant analysis of the market, as well as Matt Graham on where the markets are at, David Kittle, Alice Alvey, and Alan Pollack. Thank you to all of our regulars who make this podcast so special. Now let's get over to Adam DeSanctis with the MBA and the MBA Mortgage Minute. Adam, what you got for us this week?
Hi, I'm Adam DeSanctis. This is the Mortgage Minute, the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. Last week, MBA was joined by NAR and NAHB on a letter to the Federal Reserve that conveyed the housing industry's serious concerns about the negative market impacts the Fed's monetary policy actions are having on the market. Fed policy has contributed to market uncertainty and volatility, driving the spread between the 10-year Treasury and 30-year fixed-rate mortgage to historically high levels and, in turn, depressing home sales activity. The letter, which garnered significant national media coverage, urges the Fed to make two clear statements to the market, that one, the Fed does not contemplate further rate hikes, and two, the Fed will not sell off any of its MBS holdings until and unless the housing finance market has stabilized and mortgage-to-treasury spreads have normalized. We believe the Fed can reduce the market uncertainty premium by sending clear signals that the rate hikes are over and there will be no sales from its MBS portfolio until spreads return to historical norms. MBA will continue to advocate with the Fed and with policymakers on both sides of the aisle and in the Biden administration to ensure monetary and fiscal policy work together to avoid a hard economic landing. That's it for this week. Thank you for listening.
Thanks, Adam, for the update. Listeners, be sure to download the Mortgage Action Alliance app, a.k.a. the MAW app, so you can join in supporting MBA's effort on the Hill in D.C., and you don't have to be a member of MBA to participate, and they certainly will appreciate your participation. Now it's time for the TM Spotlight and this week's macro view of the market with Les Parker.
TM Spotlight Soundbites is brought to you by PowerSeller, making hedging easy.
Khomeini, 1979. Cruel Iran. Always has the time.
Khomeini took power in 1979 from the Shah. Instability in the Middle East is constant. What happens as war against Hamas takes months? What happens with Iranian-backed Hezbollah fighting in the north? Will oil continue to rise? Will Iran challenge Biden's weakness as they exploited President Jimmy Carter? For mortgage bankers, the looming rate drop will do little to rescue their bottom line. Cracks in housing prices add to purchase money challenges, but lower prices and rates bring a new world of opportunities.
Rates start sinking like a stone.
These views are mine. Keep today in context at tmspotlight.com.
There is so much information. We say this each week, but Mark, there's so much information packed into what Les does. The music parody is always so fitting. Folks, if you do not get Les's newsletter, you need to. So you can sign up. The good news, you get the paid version for free when you put in the word power in the sign up code area where it's asking for a sign up code. Put in the word power for PowerSeller and you'll get his paid newsletter. It is outstanding. Les Parker, Gary Canterbone, thank you for combining your talents and gifts and abilities to turn out another really interesting episode. Let's get over to the latest update from our friends at Kelk.
Fannie Mae's October mortgage lender sentiment survey showed more and more lenders are interested in developing artificial intelligence applications to help them improve their operational efficiencies. In 2018, only 42% of lenders were interested in AI applications. In the latest survey, Fannie Mae says that number is now 73%. So in a few short years, mortgage lender interest in AI has gone from less than half to almost three-fourths. Drilling deeper, lenders tell Fannie Mae they want to use AI for compliance management and to verify their underwriting data. They also see potential for AI to help with appraisals and mortgage processing. The survey also found that most lenders expect to roll out their AI solutions in the next 2 years. You can see where this is going, right? All of these jobs used to be done by humans, so the clock is ticking here. Will robots replace humans? Not anytime soon. But while technology will help us humans work faster and smarter, it can't do our jobs, at least just not yet. Nevertheless, the future is coming quickly for the mortgage industry, and what makes a loan originator successful today may, dare I say will, look very different within the next few years. I'm Dan Muggy, and that's this week's Calc Mortgage Minute.
Folks, let's get over to Matt Graham with the update on the markets as they are. A little bit of information on what happened last week, and we're opening up higher. So, Matt Graham, what do you have for us today?
This is Matt Graham with the MBS Live Market Update. Last week was an interesting one for the bond market. We had some pretty substantial gains right out of the gate. And at first glance, it seemed logical that this would be connected to the outbreak of war, or technically conflict, depending on whom you ask, between Israel and Gaza or Hamas. And that kicked off the week with a sharp move lower in yields, or so it would seem. I don't think that it's incorrect to say that this had an effect on the market over the course of the week, but it also ignores what was possibly or even probably the bigger market mover, which was not necessarily a sea change in Fed communications, but a highly suspicious or convicted shift in messaging from the Fed. And it wasn't a big shift, but it was an important one because we had multiple Fed speakers, a gaggle, if you will, coming out and saying substantially similar things, all to the effect of the following few points. Number one, that the recent rise in longer-term rates has done some of the heavy lifting for the Fed. In other words, they don't necessarily need to be as preoccupied with hiking because the market has hiked for the Fed. That decreases the need for hikes in upcoming meetings, and it immediately had the market thinking about less odds or lower odds for a hike on November 1st. It also had the market thinking that maybe the Fed is seeing a few more signs that the economy is cooling than it had previously communicated. And indeed, several of the Fed speeches mentioned this. Some of the speakers said, we're seeing a really welcome change in the pace of inflation. We're seeing the economic cooling that we're looking for and things of that nature. The speeches were nonstop from the beginning of the week. Here are a couple highlights. Fed's Jefferson on Monday said we had to balance the risk of not having tightened enough against the risk of being too restrictive. And in assessing future policy changes, I'll keep in mind that financial conditions are tighter due to higher bond yields. That sort of reiterates a few of the things that we just talked about. Fed's Bostic, Atlanta Fed President Bostic, on Monday said, or on Tuesday morning, sorry, said inflation's improved considerably, but there's still more work to do. Current policy stances are restrictive enough to restore 2% inflation. Many impacts are yet to be felt. And yeah, so that's another point that they were making, is that there's a lot of restriction in the pipeline and there's a lag between these rate hikes and what they do to the economy and inflation. So it's time to be patient. And he and several others flat out said, we don't need to hike rates anymore. Fed's Harker on Friday, and then again, even this morning, said similar things as well. That, look, if the economy surprises to the upside, then yeah, we might have to hike again, but that's not what I'm expecting. We're done hiking for now. And Harker even went a step farther and said that they are aware of what high rates have done to the mortgage sector, whatever that means. So all told, that was good for a substantial drop in yields to start the week. Last week, we bounced substantially higher on Thursday after the consumer price index came out. That was counterintuitive at first glance because core CPI was up 0.3 versus 0.3 forecast, so that doesn't seem like it should be a market mover. But there's a bigger and bigger push to dissect the internal components these days. One of the most dissectable, or one of the first places people are looking, is core services inflation. That was up 0.6 month over month versus 0.4 last month, and that was largely given credit for the negative reaction to CPI. So CPI pushed yields back higher, then we recovered on Friday. At the time, we suspected that had to do with position squaring. Nobody really wants to be overly short on the bond market going into a weekend where full-fledged war could break out. And also, you know, position squaring ahead of a weekend in general, regardless of geopolitical risks, is a thing that we often see these days. Now, starting the new week without a more abject escalation of tensions in the Middle East, and with short positions coming back into the market, bonds are starting off. Oops. Not going to re-record it. Bonds are starting off moving back toward higher yields, but not any higher than they were at the height of last week. And that is still much lower than they were the previous week. In the week ahead, there's not a ton of economic data of substantial significance, although we do get retail sales on Tuesday, tomorrow morning at 8:30 a.m. A ton of Fed speakers yet again. So if we weren't completely sure what the consensus was at the Fed, we'll be very sure by the end of this week. And then it will be the blackout period, the 12 days leading up to the November 1st Fed announcement, in which they do not give monetary policy thoughts in public speeches. So we'll be left to guess what any intervening data will do to their outlook on November 1st. But for now, it sounds like they're done hiking. They're going to let the length of time held at the ceiling do the policy tightening for them. We're all going to be paying attention to incoming economic data, but especially to CPI, jobs report, and the other big ticket reports that have had a more reliable impact on the market. That's going to do it for this week. Back to you.
Anyway, Matt, thank you so much for the update. MBS Live is where you need to be getting all your updates, everyone. Check out mbslive.net for the nanosecond updates you need in this market. Now, what's really interesting, when I was speaking this last week in Alcova, I met Tony, and he monitors. Now, I know he's going to be listening to this because he's a new listener to the podcast, so I'm giving you a shout-out, Tony. We nicknamed him 10-Year Tony because he watches the 10-year. He's all over it. He pays attention to all the markets and who's the commentators out there. But if you're wanting up-to-date information, focus in on mbslive.net. Check it out. Sign up with the LOL code, stands for Lickin' on Lending. You'll get the extended trial period without having to put in a credit card, but you just should sign up. It's so dang affordable. Everyone needs it. Let's get some feedback on the markets. We got Alice and Mark here dialed in. All the regulars are at, all the rest of everyone's at the conference, at the MBA conference. So it's good to have both of you here. Alice, any thoughts? Let's start with you, being the gentleman that we are. Any thoughts on what Matt's report is?
Thanks, Dave. I think the challenge, is, it sounded like he was saying, is we really just don't know what the Fed is going to do next, since the economy seems to be doing some things that they are hoping it will do on its own. So if I'm a loan officer out there, I'm thinking, all right, I shouldn't be coaching anybody on what direction I think rates are going in. I really need to stay completely away from that territory and just talk about the benefits of the financing, where rates are at today, and just stay completely away from trying to predict the future.
That's so good, Alice. We have seen so many people get caught up, and I was teasing 10-year Tony at Alcova Mortgage about this, and he does a good job of managing it and getting everyone to lock right away. I think the message is we don't know. The best thing to do is this market could get rally. But are you prepared for this to get worse? And I think in a market like that, we have this kind of volatility. It's you focus on what you do well. And I think you bring out a really good point, Alice. And I just want to underscore that. Mark, your thoughts?
I agree. Alice has hit on a major point there. And I really like what she said about the coaching, because there's a lot of coaching can be done from loan officers right now. And two things that come to mind with me, one I deal with personally and another I've been thinking about. It might not be the right time for a borrower to find their ideal home. And maybe if they need a home, they don't want to rent anymore, et cetera, or they just moved into an area and not sure where they want to live and all, this might be the opportunity for a loan officer to start coaching them on maybe you want to buy another home, maybe something that's cheaper, maybe something that's a preliminary home. And then when the rates come down, go after your all-star home that you want, which is much bigger in a nicer neighborhood, et cetera. Well, we don't have that market today. So we haven't had the market like we need it in those areas, in many areas. And then you got my situation, which I know everybody's tired of me talking about. When I'm pushing a year and a half of a house on the market, it bothers me a great deal because it's a higher end house. So that's problematic. But there's a silver lining to that, too. And the silver lining for the borrowers is that people like myself are starting to reduce the price because we want to move the property. But it is a good time, even where rates are, for people that can afford it to buy those type of houses, because they can get them cheaper than they would have a year ago, or maybe cheaper than they will a year from now. So I think that idea about the loan officers working to borrowers and coaching them what they might want to do, but staying away from rate, is very apropos, Alice. And I'm so glad you brought that up.
Yep. Good wisdom there, Alice. So sign up for mbslive.net, use the LOL code and get the extended trial period, but just sign up for it. So good. Normally we'd get over to David Kittle, CEO and co-founder of the Mortgage Collaborative, but he is at the conference in Philadelphia. We miss you, David. Hope you're having a great time. Again, if for those of you there and who may have listened to this podcast, get over to the TMC open house. Also, I believe the Lender One has an open house, so encourage you to get over there. Joining us live again, as you heard, is Alice Alvey, Vice President and Partner, Education nation. I liked what you stressed the other day on one of our other podcasts, how you view everybody as partners there at Union Home Mortgage. I think that's a brilliant approach, because when you have a company where people are feeling partnered, it just creates a collaborative effort, Alice. So whoever came up with that, kudos. And it's good to have you here joining us.
Thank you. Of course, that was Bill. And the word partner, when you say it all the time, also has an impact in every conversation. So it's a great word to use all the time.
I was going to say, when I hear partner, sometimes it seems like outside partner that's outside the inner circle of the employees. But this really drives home the concept of everyone is a partner in this business. And when you work here, you are a partner to what we're doing. So kudos to Bill on that. Okay, let's get into your legislative update. Didn't mean to talk over you there.
I think the main thing I wanted to cover a little bit today is there's been a lot of talk about the credit score changes that are coming as a result of what FHFA wants to do. And of course, those announcements are coming through Fannie and Freddie, what they would have to do. So they did change the timeline. We were all thinking we needed to get ready to use two credit scores instead of three, effective in Q1 of 2024. They've pushed that timeline back now, which has been around for about a month. So that's not hot off the presses kind of news. But there was an interesting article in National Mortgage News by TransUnion. And so as they're taking a look at what's going on in the market and this change to two credit scores, I get it, right? The customer is going to save $20, $10 per mortgage, but in the end, they still haven't proven 100% without a shadow of a doubt that those low credit score borrowers aren't going to end up either being excluded from the market or people on the bubble potentially ending up in a higher rate, which costs them thousands in the long run. Okay, big deal. I saved $10 when I close, but how much is it going to cost me if just getting two credit scores puts me in a different price range, price bucket? So that's the discussion. It's a good article in National Mortgage News that I think folks should be aware of. There was some good numbers in there that I can share, but it was a good article to give some perspective on the ramifications we don't really understand yet that are still being studied.
Good point. And also some of that gets covered in the upcoming podcast we're releasing on Wednesday, listeners, October 18th, which is again with Jeff and Curtis of National Credit Reporting. So NCS does a really good job. We're talking about the FICO pricing, a lot of aspects of what's going on, and update generally what's going on in the whole credit space. So good job, Alice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we're looking forward to see what might come about with being able to add Vantage Score. This is all the last piece from Dodd-Frank that the agencies had to make sure that they opened up more access to other credit scoring models. But so that's much further down the road. That'd be surprised if that's any even in 2025. But so we'll keep watching this. But for those of you who thought, oh, we're going to be moving to this quickly, that is not happening. But what you do see in the news, Dave, I'm sure you guys saw it, is everybody's announced that they're going to try and cheat the maximum mortgage amounts a little early. Yes. Everyone's out there guessing with the new numbers. And of course, the PMI companies didn't all come up with their same tolerances. So you got to make charts and graphs to figure out which MI company you're going to use. But we're all out there playing crapshoot with loan amounts again for another, I don't know, what, maybe a month and a half before the agencies make it live.
So fun. It is a crapshoot sometimes. Right? It's just dangerous. Like, what are you thinking? Just anyway. Don't want to go there. Yeah. Don't want to go there. Anyway, good job, Alice. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Alice, thank you so much for being here. I know you're taking some special time with you and Andy. And I appreciate you joining in that beautiful spot. Appreciate it. Have a great trip and enjoy your time there.
Thank you.
Mark, let's get into talking about some of the things that we're seeing. Alice, I'd like to have your thoughts on this as well. What I'm really seeing as I'm getting out, and again, I spoke at three different places last week, three different events, three parts of the country, all over the country. And I'm really seeing that there is a lot of attention on interest rates, and we get so caught up on that when you really need to be thinking about there is so much market that's out there. There's so much business to be gotten. It's going to be somewhere between $1.3 trillion to $1.7 trillion this year. That's what Frattantoni has been saying, Mike Frattantoni of the MBA. We'll get the latest report. I'm sure that got released yesterday. I don't have the latest numbers, but it's going to come in somewhere in those range. So the question is, what are you doing to focus in on getting that part of the business for yourself. So much of it gets caught up in the narrative that you're fostering. It's leadership, loan officers, loan originators, and managers, many of the executives that listen to this podcast. We're talking about leadership. Bill does an exceptionally good job of this, Alice, there at Union Home. So echo some of the things that Bill is saying. One, you guys are one of the market leaders in the marketplace about what loan officers need to be focusing on so they're not getting caught up in the accentuate the positive, eliminating the negative, which is rates.
I think it's really having a positive mentality and not staying focused on what you don't have or the way things used to be. Because there are a lot of people out there who are looking for a home and they don't care about the rate. And believe it or not, there are still cash out refinances out there. There are people who are going through whatever thing in their personal life where they need to separate from another owner and or the debt consolidation payment is still lower than the payment they would be making, even if they did jump their rate up to the rates of today. I think really trying to still develop those relationships with the realtors and really getting your own personal brand out there. I think that's what we're focusing on, is you've got to stay positive and not what used to be, what you missed. You just have to sharpen a new set of tools.
Yeah, it's so true, especially with all of the potential disruption happening. I think it is already underway. The disruption is beginning on the buyer agent commission changes. How are you guys approaching that at Union Home? Can you share that with us? And we can edit this out if you don't want to go there, by the way.
Oh, I don't. There isn't anything proprietary there other than I'm just not aware, Dave, is that formally settled? And so everybody now has to be careful of it. I do know there are some loan officers who feel nothing's really changed because it was all negotiable anyway. So that's an interesting perspective I've heard from some people. They don't feel it's some big sea change in the market.
Yeah, it is going to be somewhat geographic is what we're finding. So the answer is the NAR, National Association of Realtors lawsuit has not been finalized, but they capitulated a week ago today. They capitulated and said, we agree, and they've been adamant, they will defend this. It's the way it is. They just totally capitulated and did a flip-flop. And so that is now indicating that there's going to be settlements. What are the consequences of the settlements that are out there as more and more are settling? There's some settlement, the lawsuits that are out there and the penalties that are being asked for by the plaintiffs is oftentimes greater than the net worth of the very company they're suing or coming bring this legal action against. So there's a lot of things that are up in the air, but what I'm hearing from the different ones I'm talking to is it may not have near the impact that is feared. And I think that's what you just said, Alice. And I think that is definitely a attitude that we're hearing out there. How should we be thinking about this lawsuit? First of all, you need to become informed on it. Listen to the interview that we did and released on Friday with Marjorie Adam. And that is probably one of the best on how you should focus on it. It's more than a nothing burger. It is going to have some impact, but how do you approach it? Listen to what Marjorie said in that interview that we released last Friday is what my advice is. Mark, your thoughts on all of this?
I got probably more to say than you want to hear, but I'm going to say it anyway. So we'll run the podcast a little bit later. I take a view of the industry from a psychological viewpoint. And David, that's my background. There's two things that I learned growing up. One, I learned from Walt Disney World on Sunday night, The Wonderful World of Color. Jimmy the Cricket would talk, and he said, you got to accent the positive. I always logged that in my brain. And the other thing I learned is where there's a will, there's a way. Okay. And so I focus on the industry that way. And one of the products that one of my entities created a few years ago has been working quite well. And I recommend loan officers to do this product themselves. If you're working with somebody who's struggling with an interest rate or wanting to buy a home, one of the things you need to spend some time with them on is what the taxes on the property will be, just to give you an example. And you know why? Because 42% of the people in this country don't have all the tax exemptions they can get on a property. If they're looking at a property and they're a senior, make sure they got a senior exemption, make sure they got their homestead exemption, make sure they got the disabled exemption, whatever exemptions are in your tax base, because a reduction of property tax in half can make a material effect on the payment that the borrower is having and help them get into property. That's one thing somebody could do. Another thing you can do is basically work with a borrower and point out to them that they're lucky that they're in an area that has some homes for on the market, because some areas don't have homes on the market. And I think that's a very important thing to look at. And another thing you can work with, and you don't have to take sides on this, just highly recommend that, the individual's getting ready to buy a house, go ahead and say, I'm going to buy a house for $500,000. Go ahead and start visiting with insurance companies so that you'll want to write that coverage. I have surveyed this recently, folks, and it is dramatically different how much the rates span by very good companies on a single piece of property. I've watched a premium be double for one company on the same property when another reliable major insurance company has a premium of half that price. And I think people get in their set who they've used over the years, and really a lot of these insurance companies are pretty much on even keel with each other. So do those things to help your borrowers out and point them in the right direction. They'll appreciate that, I know, and they'll always appreciate you saving some money. And I think those important things, the type of things we need to look at in the community to convince people that you can buy, let us help you buy. And the same way with lending. If somebody is going to buy a home, assume a home, and they're buying the property and they have to have a bridge amount of cash there to get in the home, there's the lenders in your community have decent rates and are good. There are some lenders that kind of stick that rate out there. And there's no reason you can't suggest to one of your potential borrowers to explore that and look at a number of companies. You're not marketing for those companies. You just open their eyes that the rates are widespread and you want to get the best loan you can on interim financing or bridge financing at the lowest possible rate if you're going to buy a home through an assumption, or if you need extra cash once you get in to do rehab to the property that you're buying because it was at a little problems with the condition. So those are the kind of things you can really come across as a loan officer. Being knowledgeable in your field is not knowledgeable just making a loan. It's all things that intersect with that loan. And when you show that kind of knowledge, you're going to get repeat customers, you're going to make people happy, and you're going to help your fellow man get in a house at a reasonable cost and enjoy the house that they've longed for a long time, or their upgrade that they're currently doing today. And that's my little bit words of wisdom to share today.
Good, Mark. I started thinking about thoughts. You, before we go to more thoughts on that, Alice, anything you want to add?
I just think those are great pieces of advice, Mark. I like what you said. Talk about all the things that are around and through and part of that home buying affordability, essentially.
And I was just going to say the same thing, Mark. I've never heard anyone ever talk to me about checking your homeowner's insurance to see if, you know, what you could do. Because if they're just this close from qualifying, and I'm using them, maybe just changing insurance companies would get you a lower homeowner insurance premium, and still a top rated company. You have to use AM Best that you use as the guide out there, the best guide, AM Best, I think is what it was. That's going back years and years ago.
Yes, sir. That's the right one.
Mm-hmm. That's right. AM Best. So what you go out, as long as it's a highly rated insurance company and there's to be that much variance, it could make the difference about someone being able to qualify for that home when you look at the PITI. So very good, Mark. Yeah, I had never quite thought about that. And then now being a senior myself, I'm going, am I taking advantage of all the taxes? I need to go be thinking about that. I look at this market, and I want to get both of you on this. I was speaking again at Alcova. I was talking about this market is a gift. What is the gift in the high rates and lowest inventory available ever? Where's the gift in that? And I go, what it is that you get to fine-tune your skills as a sales professional, as a mortgage origination professional, because it is going to take out probably a lot more people. I always said this, it's like the guy that's hiking in bear country up in Alaska, and he's putting on his pair of tennis shoes. Now the guy he's with says, you can't outrun a bear. He says, no, I don't need to outrun the bear. I just need to outrun you. I think so many people need to say is that they just need to outrun the competition that's in the market. If you're still standing when this market comes around, you are going to be able to survive and do very well. Encourage you with those words. Alice, last thoughts, then over to you, Mark. Any last thoughts, Alice?
Yeah, there are opportunities out there. They're much more difficult to come by. Even really good loan officers are having some challenges, but you just have to find a way to keep yourself motivated and be able to continue to help the realtors. And I think take Mark's advice and go after how to help people shop for better homeowners insurance rates and understand all the tax exemptions.
All those things, exactly. Mark?
I got a few words of wisdom. The topic that I talk about quite a bit is the approvals with Fannie, Freddie, and Ginnie. And I got a little bit of wisdom to share here from a client of mine, and David, who this client is, I won't mention his name. This thing about Ginnie Mae that we've been concerned about, that we've talked about, really came to a head when he supplied some information to me. He went out and did a great deal of research on the internet and was able to obtain a list of the people that had been approved by Ginnie Mae, it looks like, for about the last 18 months. And that list is dismal. There just hasn't been that many people approved by Ginnie Mae, which is what we thought was the case in this list documented. And on that list were two of the people we got approvals for. And we're talking about a list that is not that large. It's not in the tens of list. It's more or less than 20 in the last 18 months. And we had two of those. And it was remarkable to note that most of the people getting Ginnie Mae approval were banks or credit unions and not standalone lenders. So you can tell from that what Ginnie Mae apparently is looking for more than the might advertise. They're looking for liquidity because they're going to banks and credit unions and approving those, and maybe not approving standalone mortgage companies. And that's shocking in a way, because the mortgage companies and the mortgage bankers out there and the mortgage brokers have been the core of existence in mortgage lending since I've been in the business. Okay. Most banks have always step away from it in the hard times, and it's the mortgage bankers that have to hang in there. Anyway, I thought that was real interesting, and I am requesting some information to government channels now, which when I get it, for all the agencies, I'm going to share it on this podcast, which I think is going to tell us how the industry's shaping up and what you got to do to stay in good stead with Freddie and Fannie and Jenny and continue to be a lender with them, whether you're a seller servicer or just a seller approval. And of course, Ginnie Mae doesn't have a seller servicer. It's going to be important for you to take care of your business and keep your financials in good shape and do all those things you need to do in the guide to maintain the business, because it's going to be a tougher market dealing with the agencies, I believe, than it's ever been before.
It is true. I think cherish that approval that you have, take good care of it, and you better stay up on what's going on. There's now more and more talk about meeting minimum volume levels in order to retain your approval. So pay attention. A lot that we'll be reporting on in the weeks ahead. Mark, thank you so much for being here and joining me again on this podcast. Let's run through a special thank you to our sponsors again. Each one of them we're so grateful for: Byte Software, Finastra, Total Expert, Candor, iEmergent, the Mortgage Bankers Association of America, Lenders One, the Mortgage Collaborative, Knowledge Coop, Mobility MMI, Modex. Thank you all for being here and sharing this podcast around. Again, our listenership continues to grow. I need to say one major shout out, Mark. I ran into an individual. We're going to be focusing on him next week on our podcast, but he has over 12,000 employees over in India. And Mark, he sought me out at the Housing Wire conference, and he said, "I am so honored to meet you, Dave, because we listen to your podcast here in India, and we send it around to everybody. It's required listening." I'm going, you single-handedly having that many employees could be giving us some of the biggest ratings we have in our growth. But we do have it from so many people, so many places. I have people all the time, Mark, pulling me aside at conferences saying, "We love your podcast. It's upbeat. It stays positive. You keep it on the positive train, accentuating the positive," as Jimmy Cricket saying that you referenced earlier, Mark. And it's so important. Talking, not ignoring the facts. They are what they are, but we do want to bring it on a glass half full type basis. Mark, thanks for joining me today. Listeners, thank you for being here. You all have a great rest of your week.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.